Inside, it looked like any storage facility she'd seen, as large as most on major bases. Racks of containers labeled with part numbers, bins with the most commonly needed parts piled loosely. A jig she had not met yet came out from a warren of racks.
Cher, is that you? Oh, sorry, sir.
Esme went through her explanation again, introducing herself to Jig Forrest. He seemed eager enough to show her the whole warehouse.
I just wondered, my ship schematic showed a different entrance.
Before my time. I know. I got lost trying to find this place when they sent me up from the 14th. We share this warehouse with training. Those technical schools people are always needing more parts in the lab. That's why they moved this warehouse. I don't think they update the ship schematics often enough, especially since this is a DSR. It's important for us to know where we are. But you know how it is, Lieutenant. No one asks Jigs for their opinion.
I do indeed. And I suspect, new as my extra bar is, that no one asks Lieutenants their opinion either.
You must be with Major Patak. She always sends her new juniors out to find impossible corners of the ship. I've never been in H&A, for which I thank whatever gods govern the assignments.
At least I know where this is now. I'd better get back to my list.
Esme was glad for the years of open country navigation on the Estancia. She had no problem retracing her route down and aft, and arrived in the junior officer's section in plenty of time to freshen up before taking her assigned table at mess. Now that she was wide awake, she found it easier to engage them in conversation. Callison, the senior jig, had a graduate degree in environmental engineering. Partrade, the junior jig, worked in administration, a specialty still called paper pushing, though relatively little of it was on paper. The five ensigns at her table included one in hull and architecture, two in weapons systems, and one each in medical support and data systems. Esme wondered if any of them had served aboard a ship in combat, but didn't like to ask. She had spooked them enough the previous night.
Was the Xavier action your only experience in combat, Lieutenant Tweezer?
Yes, it was.
I've never even served on a warship. I don't think anyone at this table has. They put me in maintenance administration right away, and I've been on the COS for 5 solid years.
I was on checkmate, but we never did anything but patrol.
Be grateful.
Now they all stared at her. Esme hated this. She felt too young and too old at the same time.
If the lieutenant doesn't want to talk about it, don't push her.
That from the lieutenant at the next table, whom Esme now remembered was the one she'd met outside the lift tube.
Dinner's not the time for gory stories anyway.
He winked at Esme. She grinned in spite of herself and turned to her table.
He's right. It's not a fit topic at the table. Or among strangers.
Now she understood why the veterans tended to cluster apart to tell their tales. Why they had fallen silent when she and other juniors had tried to overhear them.
Any of the rest of you have any experience?
Their heads shook.
Well, then we won't be tempted to bring up things like that at dinner. Now, Zintner, you're in H&A. Was that your intent at the academy?
Zintner, who must have stood on tiptoe to make the minimum height requirement, almost sparkled in her seat.
Yes, sir. My family's been in shipbuilding forever. A long time, anyway. I wanted to work on military hulls. That's where the good new stuff is.
And this is your first assignment?
Yes, sir. It's great. You've met Major Patak. She knows so much. And we get to work on everything once we're out with the wave.
My background's scan technology, so I don't know much about H&A. I expect you'll be teaching me a lot.
Me, sir? I doubt it. The Major's got me working on a technical manual right now. She'll probably tell Master Chief Sivers to take you on.
Direct contradiction was rude, but the ensign looked too bouncy to have intended any rudeness. She was simply full of what she was doing. Esme understood that. She turned to the jigs. Callison was pleasantly willing to discuss the less disgusting processes that kept the ship's crew alive and had amusing anecdotes of the sorts of things that went wrong. It had not occurred to Esme that a few insect egg cases caught in the mud in someone's hiking boots could hatch and cause serious problems, but apparently they had on another ship. That story led Partrade to regale them with a story about the time an unnamed junior lieutenant transposed a few numbers and caused a massive overdraft of his ship's account. Everyone had been bumped up 10 grades, so the whole ship was crewed, according to the computer, by officers, and the captain outranked the sector commander. One of the many differences from home that Esme savored was this, that they could talk about their assignments at dinner. On Altiplano, nothing related to one's work could be discussed at dinner, even if all at the table were working together. She found that unnatural. Here, a flurry of shop talk would unwind naturally into other topics.
Are you ready for my exam?
Yes, sir, but I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Why doesn't the ship's schematics agree with reality or with the schematics on your cube?
Excellent. How many discrepancies did you find?
Esme blinked. She hadn't expected that reaction. She began to describe the discrepancies, starting at the bow and working aft. Patak listened without comment. When she had finished, Patak made a note on her pad.
I believe you found them all. Good work. You asked why we have discrepancies, and that's not a question I can answer. I suspect it's the new AI subroutines, which actively protect data considered especially important. A software glitch, in other words, though we can't seem to convince the fleet systems designers that it's a problem. They take the view that architecture, once launched, shouldn't change, which is probably true for most hulls.
So you create new data cubes individually when you change architecture?
Right. We can actually change the main system for a time, usually an hour or so before it heals itself and repairs what it thinks is a data injury.
But there were two places where your cube didn't match the reality.
I gave you an old data cube, Lieutenant, to see if you'd really check things out. The stupid ones come back all confused, complaining that they can't find their way by ship schematics. The clever ones check out one or two locations, then come back with a list of discrepancies between my cube and the ship schematics. Good, honest officers who aren't afraid of work do what you did. They check everything. That's what I want in my section. People who skip the details in H&A kill ships, and we're here to save them.
Yes, sir.
Esme thought about that. It was an efficient way of separating lazy and careless from diligent and careful, but she wondered what other tricks Major Patak had waiting. It would, she thought, be some exam.
Thank you, sir, for explaining.
Patak looked at her oddly.
Thank you for passing the test, Lieutenant, or hadn't you figured that out yet?
No, sir.
A one-track mind, I wonder, or... Of course. You are a drop squirt.
Drop squirt?
Sorry. DSR vessels develop their own local slang. It means personnel of planetary origin. That's the official term. Someone squirted into deep space work from a drop, a gravity well, and someone junior, which is when you can really tell the difference. One doesn't expect drop squirts to get all the nuances of fleet social structure right away. When did you join, Sweeza?
Prep school, sir.
Esme thought of the years she'd been in a fleet environment. Two in prep school, four in the academy, a tour as ensign, and two assignments as jig. If she hadn't caught on by now, would she ever? She'd thought she had. Her fitness reports always commented on her quiet, mannerly demeanor. What was she doing wrong, besides getting involved in mutinies? Patak gave her a long look.
Technical track, most of the way. You know, Sweeza, we technical types have a reputation for being a little dense in some things. Wouldn't surprise me if you are too. That doesn't bother me, and won't cause you as much trouble here as it would on a warship. But since you are not from a fleet family, you might want to think about opening your sensors to a little wider band. Just a suggestion, not an order.
Yes, sir.
Esme felt a little dizzy. What was she doing wrong? What was so obvious? She knew that she didn't have an accent anymore. She had tried so hard. But Major Patak had moved to her process chart.
To get you up to speed in H&A, you're going to have to take a couple of quick courses. Right now, all we have is a minor little plate repair job for an escort. It'll be done before you're through with the tapes, and you'll be more used to us then. How are you with tools? Ever done metal fabrication? Ceramics? Or plastics molding?
No, sir.
All right then. Take these tapes down to training and run through them as many times as it takes. Then come back here, and I'll set you up with some instructors. You've got to know how a process is supposed to be done before you can supervise it.
That made perfect sense, and Esme had never minded learning new things. She accepted a thick stack of tapes for the machines.
Yes, sir.
We'll probably be out on deployment before you're through with the tapes. Take what time you need. Sorry, You're naturally thorough. I don't have to warn you against rushing through them.
Sir.
Esme backed out with very mixed feelings. One side of her mind felt ruffled and itchy. Another part felt soothed and confident. Scheduling sessions in training took longer than she had expected.
A DSR needs more specialties than any other kind of ship. And we have to know everything. All the old stuff, and all the new stuff, and anything someone's come up with to make repair easier. Our people are always retraining. The rest of fleet just thinks it retrains, with its predictable little drills every so many days. But we'll get you in, Lieutenant, don't worry. And Major Patak knows what the situation is. She's not going to blame you.
Nonetheless, it would be 3 standard days before Esme could get a machine, and then only on 3rd shift.
Do you have anything similar that I could go over on my cube reader?
The tech ran the tape titles through her scanner.
Yes, but this is really technical stuff, Lieutenant. What I have on cube is much more basic. The intermediate stuff's all been checked out. In fact, it's overdue.
I'll take the basic. A good review for me.
Esme took the cubes and gave the tech her tapes to be held for her session. Back in her quarters, she inserted the 1st cube. An hour later, she was very glad she hadn't been able to get time on the machines right away. The basic level cube was already past her. She sat back, blinking, and realized she'd have to take it in short doses. Almost lunchtime. She wasn't really hungry, but she did feel stiff and stale. What she wanted was exercise. Esme changed to shorts and padded shoes and followed the directions, in this case identical, given by the ship's schematics and Major Patak's cube to the junior officer's workout area. Aside from being bigger, it was much like the exercise compartments she'd seen on other ships. Rows of machines for exercising this or that group of muscles, enclosed spaces for pair games played on a small court, a large open space with mats for tumbling and unarmed combat practice. Half a dozen or so junior officers occupied various machines, and 2 were sparring on the mats. She checked the charts. At this time of the cycle, only a few machines were reserved. She could use almost anything. Esme avoided the riding simulators and climbed onto something said to simulate cross-country walking on snow. She had no desire to walk on real snow. She had done that. But it was better than pretending to ride horses by sitting on an arrangement of pistons and levers.
Lieutenant Sweezer?
She had just begun to work up her heart rate. When she looked around, it was one of the ensigns from her table, the blonde with the scrape, now healed.
Custis? No, Denton.
I just wondered if you'd talk to our tactics study group about the Xavier affair. Not necessarily your own role, though of course we'd like to hear it, but just how you saw the battle as a whole.
I didn't see the battle as a whole. We got there late, as you may have heard.
Late?
The ship I was on was captained by a...
It was extraordinarily hard to say traitor right out loud to a youngster like this.
Captain Hearn left the Xavier system before the battle. It was only after the... Only after the mutiny, when all the officers senior had died, that I took the ship back.
You... That's like something out of Silver Stars.
Silver Stars?
You know, the adventure game series?
It was nothing like an adventure game.
No, but in the 8th series, when the young lord had to overcome the Wicked Prince and then lead the ships in battle...
It's not a game. People get killed for real.
Well, I know that, but in the game...
I'm sorry, I don't play adventure games. I only fight wars.
But will you talk to our tactics group?
Esme thought it over. Perhaps she could make clear the difference between game and reality.
Yes, but I'll have to check my schedule. When do you meet?
Every 10 days. But we could move the meeting time if you wanted.
I'll check. Now, I've got to finish my set.
Detton went away, and Esme worked until she felt she'd worked off not only the stiffness of study, but the unreasonable anger she'd felt at being compared to a gaming hero. By the time she'd cooled down again, she began to think whether she should have been quite so quick to agree, even if she hadn't agreed to a specific time.
Should I talk to a pack of ensigns about the Xavier affair?
If she kept her own part to a minimum and discussed the way Harris Serrano had held off a superior force, surely that could do no harm.
The Serrano Legacy, Once a Hero, is continued on the next CD.